And welcome to our first I Am the Divine gathering for May, which has started off with a bang for me. But before I get into that, I want to give you the energy updates and what's going on and some food for thought. I had another upgrade, which I will talk about. It had a lot of components to it, so I want to share that with you for you so that you can be in the loop of what is presenting in the reality, in the real, not the illusion reality of the outer world that we see, but what is available to us from a higher level perspective. So I'll be talking about that, probably smattered throughout. It is Sunday, May 10th, as I'm recording Mother's Day. So to all my moms out there, even if you are a man, and you are filling the role or shoes of a surrogate mom, please know that I wish you a wonderful Mother's Day. It's an important role, but it's also a reminder that we are ambassadors or mothers to the earth as well. And as we are nurturing everybody else and everything else, we need to remember to nurture ourselves because we are an ambassador to our earthly experience. And it's very important for us to receive that loving care and nurturing and check in with ourselves to make sure that we're running at our very best before we give everything away, because we can't give away what we don't have enough of, right? We can't deplete ourselves. So I just wanted to make that awareness for you. If you are not self-nurturing, it is critical at this stage. We are at a point where the focus must come back within. In a very clear and concise way. And the reason for that really is because every time we're focused away from ourselves, we're focusing on something outside in the outer world, in the outer reality. We're not focusing on what is true for us. Where does our truth lie? That's very important for us to have an awareness of. So, my question for you right now is, how did you wake up this morning? How are you preparing yourself for your day? What was your idea getting up? Were you getting up with a little bit of dread? Were you getting up with a little bit of fear that when you move in bed, your body may not respond the way that you want it to respond? And so that might feel a little painful. Are you having thoughts that you're not feeling ready for whatever the day is going to present, whatever that is? Or are you waking up feeling on top of the world? Are you waking up knowing that miracles are your divine right? That everything is already available to you. if you choose to see it in that way? Are you waking up with a glass half empty, meaning not enough, scarcity, lack, victimhood? Or are you waking up with a glass half full, which means that you are feeling satisfied? You have just enough. You know you can get more if everything feels good and you feel content inside. Which way are you waking up? If you are seeing from the lens of half empty, if you are waking up and your thought is about whether your body is going to feel good or not, whether getting out of bed is going to be easy or hard, whether the people in your reality are going to be nice to you or give you a hard time, any negative thought in your mind as you're waking up is an indicator that you are running a fear program. I really want to be so clear about this because this is so important. And we're going to talk more about this when I tell you about the upgrade that I went through. My realization through this upgrade, this past, it was 4.5 days long, which is why you haven't heard from me about the class schedule for May. And I wasn't able to get this recording out sooner. I had it planned, but I just wasn't able to get there physically because I could not, literally could not get out of bed. I did not have the strength. I did not have the energy. It was, another one of those debilitating upgrades where I was in excruciating pain, mostly through my midsection, but I will talk about that later. That's least important right now. But one thing that became incredibly clear to me that I was shown was the way that timelines work. Timelines are strands of energy realities. They're strands of codes. And there are bazillions of them out there for us. Like, every choice we make, there's probably a bazillion ways it could play out. Right? And I know in past gatherings, in the past, we've talked about this, and I asked you to sit and look and see when you make a decision about something that you need to do, see how many reality possibilities there are. See how many choices you could possibly make through this one thing that you have to do. Right? It's the same thing as when I was coming down to Florida. I had so many choices and so many options of where to go, but the only one that was clear, the only one that the path was uncompromised. The only one that made complete sense to me on many levels, because choosing here was not just about me. Choosing here was about offering service for what I was receiving, right? It was a different level of reciprocity. And it's still working out to both of our advantages. Joe's and mine is this week, he is on a hunting expedition, bear hunting in Providence, British Columbia, which I'm so excited for him to get to do this because he was supposed to do it last year, but he was in the academy and he couldn't make the trip. So I'm so happy he's able to do it this year. But I'm watching lasagna, and this is the best option for lasagna because he's older now and his hips don't like to be up and down and in or out. And because, he's an older dog, it really wouldn't be good for him to lay around in a kennel all day and be on anything hard. Here, he has the luxury of laying on the sofas and everything else. So he's really in a better position, and I don't mind. He's really a good dog. He does very well, so I don't really mind having him. And it gives me purpose too, helps me to be in service because he is fun to be around at times. I mean, he could take it a little far when he steals my shoe and then he hides it and then I can't find it and I need it, but it always shows up. It always presents somewhere. But anyway, so there are bazillions of timelines. So the timeline coming down to Florida was the one that made sense. And I thought that I'd be here and I'd leave relatively quickly after Joe graduated the academy. But then something shifted in the reality again. And I went with the flow. I didn't use my brain. I didn't use my mind. I just figured this was where I was meant to be. And now that I am in this art program, which is like going to art school, there is a commitment that is required to it. And although because of this upgrade, I am so way behind right now. And we'll catch up, but it's the perfect place for me to be at the moment while I'm doing this program, because if I wasn't here, I would have a lot more stressors on me. I would have a lot more outward flow than inward presence. Okay, so my ability to be present and receive would probably be a lot diminished from what it is. All right. And I want you to think about that because that's really important. Most of us spend so much time being outward in everything, being immersed in, connecting with people and going to various places and traveling to different places and going to a job every day and doing all kinds of things that take us away from the house or away from ourselves internally, and is a strong catalyst for us to lose sight of ourselves, because then we're not thinking about what we need, what we feel, how presence is playing a role in our lives. We're not doing that. We're focused on, now I'm thinking about what this person said, and that didn't really sit right with me, but then you have this person over here saying something, or this situation, or the jerk that cut me off when I was driving my car today, or the kids did this, or my parents did that, or my spouse did this or that. What? So there's a lot of influence in the field, in the energy field around us that takes our focus away from our own personal presence, and it's set up that way in order to do that, so that we would have to feel the challenge and push to evolve ourselves. That's how it works, right? Because evolution is not a guarantee. It's not given. It's not given. Our evolution, our awakening, our ascension is not a given. It isn't. We have to work that. Okay? Healing is not a given. You can be suffering from some illness Doctor says, oh, this is, pretty common. I'm going to give you an antibiotic. It should be clear in 4 to 6 days. You take the antibiotic and the illness does not go away. Then they got to give you some other antibiotic. By the time you know it, you're 6 months in. The illness has not gone away. It should be something simple, but it still hasn't cleared up. It's still flaring up. And healing isn't a given. You haven't shifted because something that you're holding on to, something that we hold on to, is creating an emotional imbalance in the field. And that's how it works. Okay. So it's really important to understand and remember that what we're dealing with in the physical reality looks like the only timeline potential, the only timeline available. But that is a lie. It is not true. There are 8 billion bazillion timeline potentials, timeline possibilities. And I saw them. They're like strands of hair, okay? Interwoven in the reality, in as a timeline. And because the timeline that we're on as a collective is so big and so strong, we can't determine these other bazillion timelines because these two big broadband collective timelines, there's one that's a fear timeline, which is very synthetic in nature. Okay, that particular timeline has AI technology. It has new air travel that's going to be coming. It has new cellular technology. It has all technology laden, all very sci-fi-ish type of stuff. And it's very synthetic. Okay. It's not organic. And then you have the second broadband timeline that is a collective choice. And that one is organic. That one is more natural. Okay. And so that one is where we're concerned about what we're eating. You may be looking at, the idea of growing your own food or thinking about, buying organic or buying from a farm stand as opposed to going to the grocery store. And so that's how you know which timeline you're on. Are you tethered into more of one than the other? If you're tethered into the more synthetic timeline and you're, paying close attention to, the moon landing with the astronauts, and you're paying attention to, the advancements of AI technology and all of that stuff, then you're on a synthetic timeline. And that timeline is really not the one we want to be on. We want to be on the organic one. This is old information. I mean, you could go back to the beginning of the classes when I first started doing these classes and listen back, and you will hear me talking about this, but this is what we are looking at. Now, because these two timelines, one is synthetic, one is organic, these two broadband timelines are so heavy, so dense, so big, so broad, we feel like we can't see the smaller ones that would support our journey better. So what we do is we're choosing to be on one of the two big, broadband timelines, and then we're leaving our fate. This is free will at play. We're leaving our fate to the distortion of that big broadband timeline to play out. And if we're not participating in our reality, if we are not engaging in choices, if we're still engaging in things that are lowering our frequency and doing things that are lowering our frequency, then that's going to keep us stuck. There's not going to be any miracles because we're not elevating ourselves out of that 3D, lower, darker, denser, voracious, because it wants to be fed timeline, right? The higher timeline sings to our soul. The lower timeline wants to be fed. It needs our energy. It needs our loosh, or whatever you want to call it, the field energy, right? It needs that in order to stay supported. So this is now going to start to really be very prevalent and clear. Trying to think of the right words here. Prevalent and clear to us as we start to get through the rest of May. May's going to have a lot of, surprises that people are not going to expect. I mean, if you're expecting it, that's great. That, there might be some twists and turns again to the movie. We don't get stuck in anything. We don't get caught in anything. Not looking at anybody, not following anything. The government is what it is, and but we don't have to focus on it. We don't have to be tied to it. We don't have to agree with it. We don't have to anything with it, right? It's not in our backyard. It doesn't live in our house. This is the point. We have to stop paying attention to what is not immediately in our presence, okay? And we have to start to build our sense of self because our sense of self was depleted. Our sense of self has slowly been impacted and moved away from us through the conditioning that we've all received, through all of the different, movies that are out there. Commercials and infomercials and everything else that actually disable our ability to make ourselves a priority, to make ourselves worthy of our attention. Okay. So it's time to rebuild our sense of self-worth. And it's in the cosmos. Like this energy is right here, right now. And when I share my story of my upgrade, you'll understand more. But this is in the cosmic energies right now with the planetary alignment. It is asking us to rebuild, to come back into a sense of self-worth. It's time to bring back our personal power. Now, I'm just going to say this. Some of you might, feel a little differently, and that's fine too, but this is what it is, okay? This whole new shenanigans with this new virus thing, hantavirus or whatever, if you're going to go and you're going to take that vax, more power to you, okay? I'm not. And I didn't take the first one. If you did, you did. You detox from it. There's so many ways to detox the components to it. If you choose to, great. If you choose not to, that's fine too. If you are finding you have health problems, you definitely want to do a detox. Okay. When we hit 2020, I was detoxing like crazy. I was using zeolite, and I forget, I had put a thing together I had sent out to the community back at th that time, but I was using zeolite and something else, and I was doing a lot of house cleaning, but I forgot one main component, and I did not get rid of enough of the organisms in my gut biome. So now that's what I'm doing now. I'm clearing my gut biome and swapping out the bad bacteria that's in my small intestines for good bacteria, because I noticed that the bloating is getting worse, the gassiness is getting worse, and all of that stuff. And it's not just the energies for me. It's not. So I'm starting to work with that too. So we have to really be on board and pay attention. But let me just go back for 1 second and talk about viruses in general so that you understand and you have a good understanding, because I have a background as a medical laboratory technologist. I've said this before. Okay. I worked in a hospital in New York, in Rockville Center, doing diagnosis, disease diagnosis. I worked in their lab. I worked in actually all the labs because I interned there, working through all of the labs, and then, was able to see what I liked, where I did want to stay. And I'm going to just tell you what I know from my background as a lab tech. Okay. Viruses are not transmittable. They're just not. Bacteria is transmittable. Okay. A virus is in inner born. It's born within the individual. It cannot be contagious. It is not contagious. It cannot be transmitted. It is born within. Okay. We go into a fever during a virus because the cell breaks open. It's full of toxins, and the cells want to break open and they want to release the toxins. That's when we have a fever. And then the fever is the body heating up because it's got to break open the toxins and, dump all of the ick that we've been loading up on. My department that I worked for did the diagnosis for the doctors. The doctors do not do their own diagnosis. They send all of the testing out. They've always done that. Send all of the testing out to the labs, and the labs come back and they tell them, oh, yeah, doc, it looks like this. It looks like that. This is what they have. We confirmed it here, whatever. Okay. This is a scam. It's a fear tactic because the public is waking up. Humanity is finally waking up. They're finally seeing truth. Okay. And so you have to see. You have to see. If someone is losing control, they're going to try everything they can in their power to do whatever they can in their power to keep you locked in. Now, we don't want to be locked in. We want to be smart. We want to be self-sufficient. We want to be sovereign. We want to be self-authorities. Okay? We don't want to be locked into anybody else's system. That's the component here that has been stripping us of our power. Unconsciously, unknowingly, all of these years. It's part of what has created such a depth of victimhood for so many people that they cannot find a way out of the paper bag that they're in because they can't comprehend how to take charge of their own self. Okay? This is intentional. It's intentional and it's not bad. Let me just say, it is not bad. It's how this 3D game was constructed. Think video game, right? This is what we are up against. We're playing a video game. The 3D simulator is casting this campaign, this scenario, so that we, who are the exploration party on the Earth, are going to try to figure it out. If you've ever done a safe room, I think that's what it's called. It's a you know you a lot of states have it where you can go, you could sign up. Usually, you bring a couple of friends with you, and then you have this experience where when you're ready, they set a timer and you get your first clue, and then you have to figure out the next clue from there, and that unlocks something, and then you get to the next room, and then that unlocks the next clue from there, and that's how it goes. And I did that with my brother in North Carolina back in 2019. And it was such an interesting experience for me to be in because we had to really rely on each other because the only way we were getting out of there was if we rallied together. And of course, there were four of us. And now you've got, I'm sorry, I think there were six of us actually. And you've got six different minds trying to work on the same problem's solution to, resolve whatever the key code is or the clue so that we could opt out and move on to the next one, right? So it meant that we all put our heads together and we focused on the highest outcome together. But just think about that. And that was a small amount of people, that's six people that had to come together to do that. And it really was, where we had to come to a meeting of the minds. So, in a sense, humanity is going through that now where we are going to have to figure this out. People are going to have to see through the bullshit and be like, nope, we are not g going through another lockdown. We are not choosing to experience this virus or whatever they're calling it, right? We don't choose. We do not consent, right? That's the idea. I do not consent. It's the same way. We have to rally together. And in order to stand united, stand together and figure it out. And that's the only way that we are going to beat the system. And it's the same thing like with the game that I played. The only way, that you can beat the system in the escape room. I think that's what it's called, the escape room, right? Is to come together and rally together, rally with each other, listen to each other, figure it out together, no judgments, use everybody's input, and then come with to the highest conclusion. That's where we are. We're going to have to do this. We have to see that they're pushing for another opportunity to keep everybody shut down. And no, we have to stand up for ourselves. No more injections of things that we don't know. No more injections of things that are going to make us potentially sick or strip our immune system or give us some kind of crazy virus. No. The answer is no. Okay. We're not consenting to do that. All right. And so this is where we have to stand in our power. Now, the cosmos is supporting this. The cosmos is standing behind us and saying, yes, this would be the time for you to say no. It would be the time for you to say no because we're supporting your authenticity. We're supporting you finding a way to interrupt the patterns of victimhood that you have become habitually tied to. We need to interrupt the patterns, the habits, the unconscious behaviors that we have become addicted to that create our victimhood, that create our pain, that create our suffering. We have to start seeing it. It requires waking up. We have to see it. And we have to look at it and say, this does not resonate anymore. It used to. There was a point in my life where it did resonate, and it just freaking does not resonate anymore. I am not consenting. I do not consent. So, this is the shift that is going to bring us to a place of deep awareness where this energy is going to push us to heal whatever is unhealed in our body. You'll feel yourself being pulled in a multitude of ways, getting health issues under control, where you're finally like, I am done. I'm done. I'm done saying I don't have the money to work with somebody to resolve this. I'm done saying that I can't afford better food. I can't afford to take 5 minutes and go for a walk. I can't afford to take 5 minutes and do something creative or do something joyful. I'm not going to let myself do that anymore, right? So you'll find yourself being pulled in different ways and find yourself letting go of the things that are just not good for you anymore. Maybe they taste great, but they don't feel great in your body, right? Or maybe you liked going to that place one time, but you don't like going there anymore. It just doesn't feel right to you. It feels flat. Right? Maybe eating out makes you feel low afterwards, but eating home makes you feel relaxed and content and have a better digestion. Right? Maybe having alcohol lately is giving you heartburn or making you feel icky afterwards, right? Maybe it's not doing that. Maybe we just need to step out of fast everything and slow the hell down. All right? Because everything in the outer reality is set up to trip us. It's set up to trip us up. Okay. And timeline choices are so easy. They're so easy. They're so easy. It's always the choice that's in the highest best interest that takes the least amount of effort. It might not be glamorous, but it's going to be nourishing. Now, sometimes that's a hard choice to make because we want the drama. We're addicted to drama, right? I remember when the guy across the street in the Medford house I was living in back in New York had come over while I was in the midst of an in-person session in my home and threatened to kill Dre because he killed a bird in his backyard, and his backyard is a bird sanctuary because he loves birds. Right, he was a landscaper, something like that. And he came over ranting and raging. And I had a client in the chair. And he didn't ask. He didn't care. He just barged over, knocked on the door, and then went off on me. And he didn't even see Dre kill the bird. It's just that Dre was looking at the bird, sniffing the bird, and the bird was dead on the ground. So I said, we have 10,000 cats in this neighborhood. I mean, that neighborhood was loaded with cats. How do you know it was Dre? Oh, I just know he was standing over the bird. I was like, oh, all right, well, it could be any cat could have done that. Maybe it wasn't even a cat. Maybe the bird just fell out of the sky and died of old age. I mean, that is possible too. No, it was the cat. Well, I decided to file a police report to let him know you can't be intimidating me like that, and I refuse to stand for that. And the cop was really good, and he gave me timeline choices, and he was like, which way do you want to go? If you were my sister, I would tell my sister not to have me go over there to personally talk to him, but I would rather just file the report so you have the report on file. And then I'll sit in front of his house while I'm filling it out. No, let him know that you filed a report on, his threatening you or whatever. That was the highest timeline choice. When I went through all of the timeline choices that I had, the do nothing timeline at the time didn't feel right because this guy was always trying to be very intimidating. So that for me was not the right timeline. That would have just given him more power and he would have felt more like he could have intimidated us. Okay. And then there was a timeline for him to go, the cop to go over there and actually knock on the door, talk to the guy, serve him with a written warning, whatever. That really didn't feel like the right timeline either. It felt like it would have been incited this guy, in some way, shape, or form. But the cop just sitting outside in front, filling out the paperwork and everything, that felt more like the right timeline. And that's the one we choose. And was he a jerk afterwards? Yeah, but he wasn't a jerk to me personally, right? He would park his trucks in front of my house and make it impossible for my clients to park in front of my house, if they'd come for a session. He would snow plow and push the snow all the way up to, in front of my house, all the snow from like literally the whole block. I lived in a court, so he'd push it all. I had 8 feet of snow in front of my house 1 year. But then, the universe, when you're not fighting that, the universe gives you gratis. And so one of my clients who owned a construction company decided it was not acceptable because he didn't have a place to park. So, unbeknownst to me, he sent one of his guys over with a bulldozer, and the guy came and he moved the snow that was in front of my house out of the street up on my lawn and some other guy's lawn and cleared the street so that we could at least use the street. Okay, and that pissed the guy off across the street who put the snow there in the first place. And then he went over and he had to have words with the guy to let him know, hey, I'm not playing here. You do this again and you're going to have a problem with me. You're not going to have a problem with her. You're going to have a problem with me. So, you have to understand the universe will take care of it for you. There's no reason for us to fight the system. Our job is to stay focused on ourselves. Okay? Now, the reason that all of this is pointing to healing, and of course the hantavirus thing is coming up again, is because Chiron, which is the original wound that every single one of us has carried into this lifetime, is moving into the sign of Taurus, right? And Taurus is just really a very calm and nurturing kind of sign. It likes nature. It likes calm. It likes to be grounded. And it's going to be in the sign of Taurus from June 19th of this year, 2026, all the way through 2034. What's that, like 8 years, right? So Chiron is moving into Taurus. And the focus, because it's moving into Taurus, is going to be on deep-seated wounds. How freaking perfect that we're dealing with this bullshit again with some kind of unknown crazy virus that might need quarantining that started on a cruise ship, just like COVID did, yada, 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 right? So this is focusing on Chiron's move, and we're going to feel it now because we feel it a little before it happens, is asking us to focus on healing our deep-seated wounds. What are those for us? Okay. Self-worth, scarcity, and control. Those are the top ones. And when we think of scarcity, now we know self-worth, right? Self-worth, self-love. But when we think of scarcity, we are thinking the idea of not having enough, right? That's what comes to mind with scarcity. But that's not always what scarcity means. In a woman's world, we have been conditioned to believe that we cannot survive in life without a man. We need a male to be the provider. We need a male to be the supporter. We need a male to help us financially. We need a man to provide the house, to make the babies, to bring the money, to all of these different things. Okay. That's scarcity consciousness. And I grew up with that. That was my mom. My mom was always the make sure you marry somebody good who got a house, who has money, who can take care of you, who can give you what you need. Don't do what I did. Right? Because my father was never enough for her. Never enough. Right? And I love you, Mom, but this is the truth. So, we talk about it. There's no judgment here on my part. But I'm explaining, sharing what scarcity consciousness is. Now, some of us didn't get that training, but some of us might have gotten the financial, right? Where you can't choose to do the career you would love to do because it's just not going to pay enough money. Nobody's going to pay you for that. So you go into something you absolutely hate to do because that's where the money is. Okay. Or you're doing something that you really, really, really love. However, it's not really good for you. It's too much of a good thing. Maybe it's too much of a good thing in many ways that are, toxic to your body, let's say. Okay. So these are the different ways that we end up with our soul's wound. It is a wound of the soul. Okay. It could also be the wound of bodily comfort, right? Like the ability to feel good in our body. If we weren't given that, my mom was always on a diet. She always worried about how she looked. There was a platform with her, like, she held a very, very high standard. So it was always like, making sure your hair was 100% done, making sure your makeup was 100% done. And she didn't need any of that. She was an absolutely beautiful woman, but she did not see herself that way because her belief systems and her own personal training within herself. Okay. So these are the wounds that we are here to heal. And it's a big thing. It's a really big thing. When Chiron goes into Taurus, it's going to be really big. So anybody in this community who has any kind of illness going on, now is the time. I know I've heard from some of you. Some of you have booked a session to talk about some of the illnesses that you're dealing with. Now is the time to heal this stuff. No more waiting. It can't wait anymore. It has to happen now. Okay. So think about that. It's very, very important to take control of your health and wellness and healing now. And it's not okay to put something in your body to that you have not fully researched, that does not have any factual grounding to it. If you cannot verify it, do not take it. Okay? Do you know I can't get any fruit down here in Florida with seeds. I can't get any watermelons with seeds. Occasionally, on occasion, it's very rare, I might find one here or there occasionally. No grapes with seeds. And you just can't find that stuff, right? And someone in Mexico had said one time, the reason that their fruit is so much better than ours, which their fruit is a freaking amazing, is because they have the female fruit. They eat the female fruit there, which has the seeds, and it does. All of it has seeds. And then I went a little deeper into the research and the studies, and the seeds are actually what carries the polyphenols that our body needs. Carries the polyphenols. It keeps us youthful looking. It helps the skin. And we're not getting that because we're not eating seeded cucumbers. We're not eating seeded watermelons, seeded fruits. I don't eat apples anymore unless I pick it right from a local tree or something like that, because every time I eat an apple, I cannot digest it. And what I have found out is that most of these apples are picked and stored for a year before they're shipped out to the stores, because they're cured with the waxes and everything else. It doesn't matter if it's organic. I've tried that too. And I'm just going to tell you, I do not believe the whole organic game. I just don't. I believe that it's very easy for these companies, they say it's not, but I don't believe that either, to label something organic when it's not organic. And so don't get caught up in that nonsense. Just eat what your body is asking you for and don't make yourself crazy. Okay? Eat what your body is asking you for. What I look for is smaller fruit. I'm not looking for blueberries that look like they're the size of a cherry or a grape. That to me is not a real blueberry. Okay. So I will eat a non-organic blueberry that is tiny in size compared to the organic blueberry that is the size of a grape. And I've seen those in the store. And I will not buy those because that I've never ever seen blueberries that big. So we have to become conscious of what it is that we're putting into our body, what we're willing to accept and embrace. And we need to start operating from a place of stillness, peace, and harmony. That's all going to become very important in the coming years. Simplicity. And our relationships, there's going to be changes in those, right? The people that we're around now, we're going to eventually figure out that those are not our people, but we keep them around because there's a sense of loneliness. And so when we have that loneliness, it distorts the relationship that we have to ourselves. And when we realize that we really don't need that other person, that again is part of that victimhood belief, right? It's an addiction. I must have somebody in my life. It's that scarcity program. I must be in a relationship. I must have somebody, a close friend, or this or that, or whatever. Not true. None of it is true. Okay. We have to start to see these unconscious things that we tell ourselves that are not good for for us. And trust me, there has been many studies out there, and I've heard people that follow Joe Dispenza say it all the time, that he says we become addicted to the victimhood consciousness. We become addicted to pain and suffering because that becomes all we know. We expect it, so it shows up for us because it's all we know. Now, we also have something else that just took place that was the reason for my upgrade, and that's Pluto, my best friend, my bestie. Going through a retrograde, which happened a few days back on May 6th. Now, I live on my Pluto Jupiter line. So if something is in my field, okay, if there's something that I need to get rid of that's keeping me stuck, that's holding me back, my friend Pluto, who's a bit like me, says, "See this? Get rid of it." And then Jupiter comes along and is yelling in the background, "Yeah, you need to get rid of it. You need to do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now." And we're just going to make it so loud and so uncomfortable and so obnoxious that you have to do it, because Pluto will identify it and bring it into clarity. And then Jupiter, bless Jupiter, Jupiter will magnify it, intensify it. And that's exactly what happened. I'll tell you about that in a minute. So Pluto went retrograde, and you have to remember Pluto is in Aquarius. Okay, so the collective time is taking a time out from being focused outside and pointing us back inside, very introspective, pointing us back inside toward the idea of our own personal power, which is why the first half of this talk was all about owning our personal power. Okay. So we could even say that more specifically, this time is all about our power or lack of it. Okay. Are we owning our power? If not, why? Why are we not owning it? What is stopping us? And how do we own it if we're not? Are we in our own authority or not? And interestingly, Pluto is retrograde until October 16th. So it's retrograde for quite a few months. Okay. It's retrograde for 5 months. I'm not really happy about that, I'll be honest, but I think it's really going to push stuff to the surface for me and force me to really tidy up the minuscule stuff that I still have hanging over, maybe that I haven't addressed. And it's going to really, by the time this is done in October, I think I'm going to be a completely different person. And you'll watch that. You'll see. And I'm just going to claim that in because I know that to be true, right? And I want to be in my authority. I don't like not being in my authority. But isn't it interesting how this coincides with the hantavirus, right? Pluto retrograding, because it's now direct and retrograde, wants us to look within and say, is this our truth? Is this where this is coming around again? They want us to wear masks. They want us to do this. They want us to, no, it's not. And Are we standing in our power? Are we standing up for ourselves? Are we going to play into this nonsense again? No, we're not playing into the nonsense again. This is where we have to choose our power. It's all lining up. Guys, I keep telling you, the most important focus is on the cosmos because it shows you exactly what's about to happen. How it happens is not always clear, but the stage is being set right now for something to want to take our power away so that we can play this game out. We can play the power play with Mercury, Pluto being retrograde, right? And say no. I'm being told by Pluto I have to stand in my power because believe me, if we don't stand in our power, Pluto is freaking nuts. Pluto is like the wrecking ball at a construction site. It's gonna come in and it's gonna fuck you up. Excuse the French, but it does not play games. It will tear down whatever is going on in your reality and build it back up again, or have you build it back up again and make it stronger because you didn't build it the right way the first time. So we do not want to do that. We do not want to play that game. That is not a good way to transact this Pluto retrograde. It's just not. Okay. Now, as a side note, we do have Uranus in Gemini. It moved into Gemini, right, about a week ago. And Uranus in Gemini is air, it's electric. Gemini is the mind. So Uranus in Gemini likes clarity, right? For my little Geminis out there, you guys like clarity. So this energy is demanding clarity. It wants us to get clear. This retrograde could expose a lot of different types of secrets. I mean, look at the bullshit. Really? Steven Spielberg is going to do a movie about disclosure. I mean, what kind of crap is that? What kind of nonsense is that? Okay. They're going to tell us what they want us to see. Stop playing the game. Don't even go see it. You're supporting nonsense. Okay. You don't even need that. When you're ready, they'll come to you and they'll be like, hey, it's time for you and us to connect. And you'll be like, oh my God, the galactics are here. But if you're still out there following the masses, doing the stuff that's just keeping you stuck, they're not coming to you because you're not the one they want to interact with. That's how it works. It just works that way. Okay. And so there'll be a lot of focus on air stuff during this transition, this transit, because Uranus is going to be in Gemini for a number of years. I think for the next 7 years, if I'm not mistaken. And because of the idea of it being like mental and electrical and all of that sort of stuff, AI will be very strong. And so we're going to have to really determine for ourselves on an intuitive level what is real and what is not. And we're seeing it with videos out there right now. I'm not on Facebook, but I see it on Instagram. And oh my gosh, you can't even tell that the video was made with Instagram, with AI, but it is. Okay. It looks like a legitimate video that somebody would have made of a chicken bouncing on a trampoline in their backyard, but it is not. It's AI technology and it's getting really, really good. And they're using AI technology for everything. And they're using AI technology for, to put people in, famous people or people who have large followers. I'm hearing a lot of people who have large followers out there complaining that that people are using their face with their own verbiage through AI technology and they're not consenting to it. So we're going to have to be really, really vigilant through this period. What do we believe? And be very, very cautious and do an internal. This is how you get clear and you really grow your clairvoyance, your consciousness, right? The clairs, clairvoyance, claircognizance, clairsentience. The most important clair right now is claircognizance. The knowing, the state of knowing. You just know. You don't know how you know, but you know. My strongest two clairs are claircognizance, which is the knowing. I don't know. It's just dropped in my head. I just know it. Somehow I know. I don't know why. And clairvoyance. I see things. So that those two have always been my strongest. Okay. And so it's really time to figure that out. It's really time to get clear on that. All right. Now, before I go into the upgrade, because this is important information in the upgrade, this new moon in Taurus on the 16th of May is in the sign of Taurus, which is about Earth. And it's a fixed sign, which means it does not like to move. It's like the bull. It wants to, it's heavy, it's dense. If it lays down or sits in the field, it's there. You're not getting it up. You can charge it, you can run against it, you could push it, you could try to, it's not happening. Okay. It loves nature and beauty. Taurus is all about nature and beauty, does not like sudden change. If you know any Tauruses, they do not like sudden changes. So, this is going to be an interesting period. The best way to move through this is to ground through peace and bliss, right? Stop looking at the bullshit out there. Because you don't even know it's real. Go back and watch the movie Wag the Dog. You want something to do on a rainy day, or if you have snow where you are, whatever it is, or like here today, the humidity is grossly out of control, even though it's only in the 80s, the upper 80s, and not yet in the 90s, but it's grossly out of control, as Florida is doing its preheating for the summer weather here. Watch the movie Wag the Dog. They're telling you everything you need to know about what's happening right now. Okay. Connect through peace and bliss. Do breath work. Breath work. You know what I like to do? Go out and sit in a chair under the pole barn and just watch the squirrels run around and play. And watch the crows come in and steal the nuts that I leave for them. And just connect with the earth to ground. Not connecting as in making roots with Gaia, because Gaia is in a shift to self and can't support that. Okay. So anybody that says, oh, we're just going to grow roots through our feet and grow ground into the earth. No, that's the old way. We haven't done that for years and years and years and years, for almost 10 years now, because Gaia went into physical ascension in 2017 and cannot support that anymore, right? But she can support us as we connect to her physical essence. And that's where you get the different realms opening to you, like the fairy realm, okay? And the Devic realm of all the elementals and everything. Human connection is going to become more important, connecting one-on-one, and possession of stuff, goods, right? Clothes and buying stuff, that's going to be irrelevant. You'll definitely feel that shifted the more you constant conscious and present you are. You're going to feel it. And the best thing that you can do is to call in more high frequency light to come in. And if you haven't been listening to the classes consistently, you really should. Okay? You can't miss any because I'm giving you the layout of what is coming and what is presenting. And we've been talking about this for months now, how this is playing out and panning out. So I talked about a shutdown before they even mentioned the hantavirus. Okay. Do not allow this. We cannot accept this. We cannot stand for this. It is the biggest farce. When we eventually, as humans, when we eventually learn over the course of the next couple of years how everything on the earth really works, how our bodies really work, there's a lot of people out there that are going to be pissed, that are going to be so mad that they listen to any of this nonsense. Okay? Please, people, I've been saying this for years and years and years. Stop looking out there. Trump is not the hero. He's not the savior. He's doing good things in order to break the system. Okay? But even that, the techniques and what's happening, that's all outdated too. Okay? And it's all got to go. It's all got to go. And I'm looking at it saying it's happening with good purpose. Some of it, I could be okay with. Some of it seems painful, but at the end of the day, the truth, if we really wrap our head around it and we look at what is the truth of this earthly experience, it is that we are in a simulation, that we are in an experience. It's an experience that we're having as a soul on a playing field, on a stage that can support the playing out in a very physical way of a life. It supports us playing out a lifetime in a very physical way, and that's what it does. Now, let me tell you about this upgrade. So, just as I was preparing to give you guys a new schedule, I think it was probably on the third, I started to feel a little off. I was noticing we were having flare after flare after flare, was getting really hammered. It's getting crazy. And I was feeling a little wonky, wasn't feeling so great. And then on the fourth, the night of the fourth, I was like, not really feeling so good. I think I'm just gonna wait another day, see if this passes. It's probably the energies. And then I've been dealing with like upper belly bloat, like seriously bad upper belly bloat, and just not feeling so good, in for many reasons, and the energies being high and a number of things. So I was trying to get a painting done that I have for this class that I'm doing, and it's a face, it's a portrait. And I said, I said, I'm feeling better today. I think it was the 5th, May 5th. Pluto didn't transit until the 6th. May 5th, I got up that morning and I was feeling great. I decided I was going to work on this painting because I had already started it and I was on the second layer of paint. And I was really struggling within myself to paint the nose because we're not, it's not about painting the face and getting the colors right or anything like that. It's about painting the face and getting the planes of the face right, right? So where the face has different shifts, like from the top of the bridge of the nose, down the sides of the nose, then the cheek happens, then the jaw line happens, like all of that, right? Or the bridge of the nose runs up into the forehead. That's another plane, and then each side of the forehead is another plane. So it's about getting all of that right, and then getting the form, the eyes needing to be the right shape, everything needing to be the right shape. And so I, it's funny because as I'm talking about it, I'm heating up again. I'm not fully done with this. This is going to be interesting to see where this goes. But anyhow, so I started painting and I was really stressed, like very, very stressed, instead of just having fun with it, knowing I'm not being judged. I'm not being graded. They're gonna critique it, but it's just gonna help me in the long run to be a better artist, the critiquing. And I got in my head. Okay, it's like one of the only things that can put me in my head in a bad way is painting, because it's a lot of stuff from my childhood that I have not cleared that needs to be cleared. And as I painted the nose, I overpainted it in darks. And all of a sudden, at one point, I realized, as I stepped back, I realized, oh my God, this nose is so dark. I don't think I can come back from it. I can't adjust it because it's so dark. I can't, the colors don't even match the colors of the rest of the face. Like, what was I thinking? And I went into a complete panic. I mean, in that moment of panic, this is important. In that moment of panic, I felt my energy go into a surge that was a rage. And all I wanted to do was scream at the top of my lungs, no, what the hell am I doing? Or something like that. And instead, I was, I don't know, worried about sounding like a crazy woman or worried about scaring Bella or something. And I sucked it all back in and I felt it like a vortex come right back into my body. I felt it, all that energy just suck back in and funnel in as if I took it all in. And I was so uncomfortable the whole day and was so angry with the painting, with myself and everything. And I whited out the nose area so that I could repaint it. And I, as the day progressed, I couldn't repaint it because I was starting to feel a little sick. I was not feeling good. And it progressed, the feeling of not feeling good. And I'm telling you this for a reason. Now, when shit happens to me, it happens to me on a magnitude level. In a huge way, right? Over exaggerated, overly dramatic, so that I can see it in its clarity because it's not happening that way to everybody else. For everybody else, it's happening over a period of time. But for me, it happened instantaneously, so that I could experience it, understand it, dissect it, and then share it. And what happened was that night I went to bed and I could feel my stomach churning. And I thought, oh no, not again. Because since I've been here, I've had two episodes of, severe stomach nonsense. Where I thought I had food poisoning or something else, or whatever. And I'm like, oh no, not again. I don't want to experience this. I'm so done with this. It's so painful. I mean, it's excruciatingly painful. And trust me when I tell you, in the back of my mind, there's always the thought, I should go to the hospital. I should this, I should that. But the problem is it happens, for good reason. It happens when I'm alone. And so it's not like I can get in my car and drive myself anywhere. I'd have to call an ambulance to do that, right? Which then brings out a whole bunch of other stuff in the dynamic of that. And that's not my immediate choice, looking at timelines. And so I'm like, okay, I got to work through this. I got to go through this. I got to figure this out. I got to see, right? I am 4 days in, painful, painful beyond painful, throwing up, not going to the bathroom the right way, like my urine turned more like a brownish color, and it eventually cleared up. But, while you're going through it, sometimes this is what's happening. Body is detoxing. And I went from, the whole gambit, flu-y, achy pains in bed. And then on, I think it was day three, I was feeling better. I thought, well, it's finally done. And I was a little cold though, being in the house. I put on a very light sweatshirt with a pair of leggings, went to sit outside. It was like 80 degrees out here. The sun was out, beautiful day, light breeze. And sitting out there 10 minutes, all of a sudden, I was like, oh my God, I am freezing. I'm freezing. It's 80 degrees. Something is not right. I'm going through the next phase of the upgrade. Whenever you have an expansion, which is the heat and the sweating, which comes on immediately for me, it's like, and it will for you too, because it'll be the profuse sweating, right? Well, out of nowhere, you'll just start dripping sweat. When it first started to overcome me, I needed to just strip down, have nothing on, and just lay down on the bed because I can't do anything else. I am overcome by the pain that my body is feeling and the sweating. I'm sweating profusely. And I'm in too much pain to really like have any insights or anything like that. It's more or less like I am just talking to my body. I am giving myself Reiki, all of that. Called on a couple of people to do that with me and help me with giving me some Reiki and whatnot. And then of course, the next day, I think I'm past it, and I go outside with sit with the sweatshirt on, and I'm freezing. And I come in the house because I know I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm about to go into stage two, which is where you get so cold, you could have 15 blankets on you, and it is not enough. It is not enough, and it is painful. And as soon as I got in bed with the blankets and the socks, my teeth were chattering so hard, I thought they were gonna break. I thought that that's it. My teeth are gonna be shattered in my mouth. My whole body was shaking so bad. I was so cold. It was as if I was standing outside in 30 degrees below zero. It was that cold. And so I knew in that moment, that expansion that happened came back in, and I was now integrating in the contraction, right? We have to take it in and we have to process it and we have to integrate it and all of this good stuff. And then right after that, there was another little bit of heating up again, a little mini heating up and the expansion. And that was the fourth day. And as I was laying on the bed in my fourth day, I was completely exhausted. Again, this is a non-functioning state. I didn't eat. I wasn't digesting anything. I wasn't going to the bathroom except to pee. And I was not having a good time of it. And my body was just doing all kinds of weird things, and I was trying to just respect myself and support my body through whatever it was going through. So I really wasn't eating much of anything. I found that eating wasn't benefiting me, just drinking water was, and I was super dehydrated because I couldn't get enough water in because everything was just felt dry. And then I went and I laid in bed, and I was laying in bed and I was working on myself, giving myself Reiki. This was day four. And it was really interesting because all of a sudden, and it always happens like this, if you go back and you listen to the recordings that where I've had these upgrades, is always a very strong visual. All of a sudden, at a moment, that vortex of energy that was the painting that came into me left my solar plexus. And before it left my solar plexus, I saw the face that I was painting start laughing and yell, no, like with these tears popping out of the sides of her eyes, right? Like this frustrated laugh. And that painting whirl back out of my body and leave me. And what had been coming up through the whole thing was so much anger, so much anger is really what it was, right? So much frustration. And I, that night when that happened, and now the vortex backed out of me, it was the energy released because I had done enough work on myself to release. But imagine this happening with someone, right? Imagine them storing so much anger that they don't know what's bothering them. They don't know what's making them sick. They don't know what's giving them stomach problems. They don't know any of that. Okay. And they're making themselves sick, but they're not in alignment enough to do the work to know what is going on, to understand for themselves how this is affecting their body, how it's impacting them. They don't have an understanding of it because it's not the work that they do. But yet I know it because it's the work I do. So what do? Start healing it. I start working on it. I start looking for all the areas in my life where I gave my power away, like with art, right? I didn't stand in my power with art. I didn't say to my parents, hey, screw you. I don't really care if you don't like an art career for me. I'm doing art anyway. I didn't do that. I accepted what they wanted me to do. They wanted me to go to school for some kind of medical training, and I did. I went to school for med lab tech, to be a medical laboratory technologist to diagnose diseases. Okay. Did I want to do that? No. Did I enjoy it? Yeah, because I have a very sciencey kind of mind and I like, understanding how things work. But I would have much preferred to do art. But because I didn't get that support and that nurturing, I hold a lot of fear. I have a lot of fear of not doing it right, doing art the wrong way, or it not being good enough, or it not looking good enough, right? And that's just not my truth, but that's what transpired from all of this. So, of course, when it came down to, how everything works in the body, the solar plexus is our power center. It's the area that holds the nature of how other people see us, right? And what was being impacted? My solar plexus, my upper belly. Excruciating pain. Excruciating pain. I'm like, is my pancreas going to explode? Is what's going to happen here? Because I'm having so much pain here. Like, universe, what is going on? Right? Then my back was in a flare up right across where my kidneys would be. And of course, if you look in, the whole thing with traditional Chinese medicine, you can understand that the kidneys are, what is it, like willpower? Hang on one second, I have to just think about this. Kidneys are, oh, root life force. Life force, willpower, life force, emotional wisdom, emotional intelligence, right? And where we manage fear. I did a lot of journaling on this. I did a lot of journaling on this. It's like the root of the yin yang. So it needs balance. And this is traditional Chinese medicine. This is not my philosophy. Okay. But this is where we hold fear. And the opposite to fear is wisdom and calmness and safety. And I guess I did not feel safe painting this painting. And, it was fine, but I overdid the nose because I was afraid I was doing it wrong, and I wasn't. The only thing I had wrong was the colors, and they would not have cared about that. They just wanted to see the planes of the face. And my need for perfection, right? The perfectionism. So I had pain across my back in the kidney area because the fear that I was holding there was trying to come up and out, right? And it was like almost like, that little vortex, that picture sucked back that energy, but it took it differently out of my body, right? Took I could feel the difference when it left my body. And then I looked at my birth chart and I said to myself, I'm not an astrologer, but I probably should have been an astrologer because it shows in my birth chart. And I am very big on understanding the cosmos because it really puts things in perspective when we're not understanding or don't realize perspective, right? Which is why I give you guys all of this information, right? I give you this information because it's really important and it puts things in a different perspective so that you can understand it, help you understand how to look at things so that, you're not getting stuck. You're not getting stuck in your head. And I'm always giving myself as an example, but, fear is one of our biggest challenges. And if you think about it, in the beginning, I asked before we started this gathering, how are you waking up in the morning? You're waking up in the morning through the lens of fear, or are you waking up through the lens of love, And I have to be honest with all of you. I did not think I held that kind of fear that would take me into an upgrade because when I looked at my birth chart, I had Chiron playing out in Taurus. Okay. Playing out in Taurus. Sorry, lasagna's trying to get my attention. Maybe you have to wait a minute. Nope, don't touch the computer. Playing out in Taurus, what is taking place in my body at the moment? And it was so powerful to have that awareness, to have that understanding that here I am working through this because Taurus is in my sixth house, okay? And the sixth house is the house of self. It's wellness, service to others, self-improvement, work routines, health routines, all of that sort of stuff, right? And that whole idea of, self-improvement and health routines and, my daily duties and nutritions. Well, what's in my daily routines? Art. Art is now part of my day, every single day. Why did this not come up at any other time? Well, because I wasn't painting at any other time. But because the forces of the universe blessed me with this amazing opportunity to be in this program at this time, it's now coming up because it's another layer that I have to heal, knowingly or unknowingly. And the depth of it, unknowingly, is super, super intensive, which is why I stress so highly. I can't stress enough how important it is to be in your work, to be in your work, to do your work, to figure it out. And if you don't think that you can, you're wrong. Okay? If you don't think you can, you're wrong. If you run away, if you're distracting yourself from doing the work that you need to do, you're going to find yourself in a very challenging place over the course of the next 2 years. This is where it all ends. When we get into February of next year, by June of next year, you are going to find yourself a very different person. Now, how do you want to be different? Do you want to be different in a positive way, or do you want to be different in a negative way? I want to be different in a positive way. I don't want to be different in a negative way. I've done that, been there, done that. I'm done with that. It's over. I've had enough, right? That means, no people pleasing, no saying yes just to, not rock the apple cart, right? Coming into the highest within ourselves. We want to make sure that, we're not saying yes to things that are not feeding and nurturing, the things that are really important to us or what really matters for us. It's really important, guys. I cannot stress it to you enough how important it is for you and me to take our healing into our own hands. We can't outrun the need to heal whatever's presenting in the field. I did not think I had that kind of fear stored inside of me, but when I started journaling, maybe I'll read some of it in the live class with you guys. But when I first started journaling, it was so much that I had forgotten about in my childhood, so much that came up. And I had pages and pages, and I was noticing the more I was writing, the more I was writing things down, the more I was telling my truth to the pages, in each moment I was feeling better and better and better. And all of a sudden it cleared. And then when it cleared and I was out of the upgrade or coming out of the upgrade, was not last night, but the night before. Right, so last night, so Friday night. So Friday night, Friday, Joe flew out of here for Providence, British Columbia, because he's going on the bear hunt, like I said. And I was laying in bed and I was meditating to just do breath work, not really to meditate, to connect, or anything like that, just to do breath work. And the next thing I know, this picture forms in my head of from this fairy. This fairy comes through, right? I've been seeing them a lot in the trees again, faces in the trees and stuff like that. And they're really encouraging me to do art through the day, throughout my day, do watercolor paintings of fairy faces and stuff like that. And this fairy comes to me clear as day and shows me this fairy altar in the middle of this like woods. It's a fern covered woods, woodland area, and they're standing on a platform that used to be a quartz crystal with other quartz crystals, and they're telling me what happened to me, what I just went through, which made sense. And they're showing me a picture now that they want me to paint, right? This is a painting that you're going to be painting. And I said, how will I be able to paint this? And they said, well, you have a lot of inspiration, a lot of muses, and a lot of connection. So when you are meant to paint this, you will know exactly what you need to do. Now, I saw the painting clear as day in my mind, but it's not a painting I could do right now. But when I get to the next level, the part two of this, artist mastery program that I'm doing, I should be able to paint that no problem because I'll have the techniques and the tools and everything else under my belt to be able to do that. And then the next thing that happened was the Greek goddess Artemis came in and said, I am present with you now. Now, I didn't take that to mean that Artemis is going to be a guide for me because I don't really look at channeling anymore as something that, we need to do, because that hap channeling says that that happens outside your body, but it just means that the goddess Artemis, who I think is the goddess of the moon, the moon and birth, I think. Or wild animals. Hold on, let me look this up because I don't really know. Oh, okay. Her symbolism is independence, nature, and the power of women. And she is so the power of women. You hear that? The power of women. Okay. So she is highly or closely connected to the moon, and she is a known as the Virgin Goddess, who is the protector of maidenhood and rarely associated with romance love, preferring to roam the mountains with an entourage of nymphs. So I guess they were like moon maidens or something like that. She's very connected to the moon. And she came in and said, "I will be with you now." And I'm thinking that she's with me because, one, I am a Cancer sun, which means I'm very connected to the moon. The moon is my ruling planet. And also because she is associated with transitions. I feel like I'm in a period of great transition. She is with me. And also, one of the things that I would love to do is paint women and animals. So she is very much tied to women, nature, and the power of women and deer, which you know, because I've always posted deer because they always come around to me. So she fit. When she said, "I am with you," I said, "That's great. Integrate, and I'll take your information and I will be happy to use it in my paintings." I didn't think to myself, "Oh, this is wonderful. I'm going to be, channeling Artemis and all of this." She's also known as Diana, in Greek mythology. There's also the goddess of the moon, nature, and childbirth. So we could say that this felt very much like me birthing a new reality. I'll be honest with you there, because it was quite painful. So anyway, to continue with the little story that we're telling here, but giving you the key details along the way, because you're having these experiences too, but you're not realizing they're experiences like this. You're not. The only reason I do is because I'm like super, super, super present. I have really no distractions where I am, and it's intended that way. Trust me when I tell you, because I often ask myself, why am I here? Like, there's no place I want to ever go out to eat. I like it. I like it here, but the food around here is just okay. There's like not really any great restaurants or anything like that. And it's just okay. And I'm on 5 acres with nature. Like, where am I going? Do I need to go to a park to walk? No. I get it all right here, believe it or not. Right here. Don't have to go anywhere. So I'm communing with nature all day. I'm in the quiet, I'm in the element. Where can I grow my soul? Where can I advance my consciousness? Right here. Where am I going to become the artist I'm meant to be? Right here. The universe knew what it was doing when it put me here. I'm supposed to be here, right? Tune to that for yourself. Where do you feel like you're supposed to be? Are you where you're meant to be? Now, if you don't feel like you are, then you've got to start to become to more and more present so you can enter that timeline. Now, let me tell you what I also saw. I saw the strands of time, timelines. They're very fine, like fine baby hairs. And they're so easy. I say that, but again, being a human, I'm like, okay, easy, but like takes the work to be present, to jump over to the next timeline. That's just, like you put your finger out and you're touching that timeline. It's like right here, right on top of you. It might be even laying on your shoulder. But you don't realize it's there because you're so consumed by the two broadband timelines with the collective in it, which means that you're tuning outside of yourself more than you're tuning inside. If you're tuned to the organic timeline and you're feeling the sense of sequestering yourself so that you can have more peace, more quiet, more time within, then you're on the organic timeline. But if you're out there loving the party scene, all of that sort of stuff, and constantly are doing things that are distracting you away from what you need to work on personally, and you're finding that you're not getting to work on yourself, and you're angered by the outer reality, and it doesn't have to be all of that, right? It could be just one part of that. But if there's any of that that resonates with you, then you're in the synthetic timeline. The synthetic timeline is not where we want to be. That synthetic timeline is going to play on, and it doesn't need our attention. It is eventually going to collapse. But you don't want to be on that timeline and have it collapse with you. You want to be on the organic timeline, which is when you start making choices for you. You don't need the loud outer noise of the outer reality because you find peace and contentment alone within yourself, right? I love my alone time. I do. But I enjoy being with people too, but I also enjoy being alone. I love my downtime. I love my time painting. I love my time outside. I just love it. Okay. You have to look at yourself. If you don't feel like you like to be alone with yourself, and you have to say, why don't I like to be alone with myself? Why don't I like to be alone? First of all, that's a big problem if we don't like to be alone, because we are going to be our only best friend. Okay, sure, we're going to have other best friends, but we are our best friend. Okay. And so we have to look at that. And maybe that's a question to journal. That's something to journal. We have to look at that and be like, why do we not like to be alone? Okay. So I'm going to leave you with that. There's not going to be a recording or a class next week. I really want you to sit with this. I really want you to think about this, and I want you to stop paying attention to what's going on out there. Please don't ask me about the hantavirus. That's why I'm putting it in this recording, because I don't want to discuss it. I don't want to discuss it. I don't want it in my field. I don't need to think about it. It's not in my timeline. It's not on my horizon. I don't want to be associated with it. And you shouldn't want that either. Okay? Don't pay attention. Don't give it any love. Don't give it any support. Don't give it any worry, any fear, or anything else. If you are, you're feeding that timeline. Stop. That's not a good thing to do. It's not a healthy thing to do. Okay. I'm always here for a session if you're stuck. But really pay attention to the things I'm talking about in this recording, because I can't stress to you enough how important it is right now. I mean, the solar system is constantly lining us up with where we are supposed to be. And I am giving you what is coming through at its highest level so that you can be your best in every moment. Okay? So let's make that happen. So this week, homework, journal, 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 journal. Do what you need to do in order to move the energy. Okay? I love you. Have a wonderful whatever it is that you're doing. And I will talk to you soon. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.